This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Week one may be over, but the season's just getting started at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. To kick off week two, DraftKings is giving all new customers a can't-miss offer. Just bet $1 on any football game this week and receive $200 in free bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps to receive $200 in free bets when you place a $1 bet on any football game. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps to get your $200 in free bets instantly this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
Make a little loving, a little turn of loving on a Mason-Dixon line. Fits my life, oh so right. My Dixieland.
Kick off hour number two of the program. Houston's making a list. Checking.
I've asked for help on Twitter. I said, send me. I was trying to do it in a way, I didn't want to say send me equal amounts of positives and negatives. I said three positives, three quote-unquote red flags. I'll tally during probably this segment. We'll get into it a little bit later this hour.
Is this simply red flags here?
I'm sorry?
Are you just asking?
I just want to be clear. It's through eight quarters of Tennessee football.
Okay, I'm just clarifying.
There's no need to pull from 3 years ago something that happened as a red flag. If it's already started to happen here, yes, you can bring it up and say, well, it also happened there, but I'm specifically talking about eight quarters of Tennessee football.
I'm just being clear with you.
Spin that either way. I mean, maybe Scott Frost got super lucky because he doesn't seem like he's been a very good coach with anything other than that 1 year at UCF, or maybe year and a half, whatever. Nick Saban lost to UAB his first year at LSU. Just FYI.
Maybe that Louisiana Monroe game.
He also beat number 11 Tennessee the next week. So,
I give Saban credit.
Was that the last game of the season they played UAB? Mm-mm. You said his first season at LSU?
2000.
I'm pretty sure that UL Monroe game was between, he had a ranked opponent, and then he had Auburn. It was like one of those trap games.
Was it that late in the year?
Yeah, you should still win, but
what? No.
You lost to UL Monroe.
UL Monroe.
That was the second to last game of the season?
It might have been, yeah. Yeah.
Was it? I didn't think it was
either second or third to the end. Yeah,
it was right before Auburn.
Okay, so what? Yeah, so the LSU was actually coming off of a loss at Auburn, and then he lost to UAB, and they beat Tennessee.
In the SEC championship?
No. This is his very first 2000. Year, 2000.
Yeah.
When was the last time Saban lost to Tennessee? Would it have been the regular season in 2001?
Mm-hmm. It's the only time we've ever beat him.
2 decades.
Well, let's go to the phone lines. We got Zach on the horn. What's up, buddy? You're on three and out.
What is that, Houston, Nate, Davey, and Adam?
What's morning, brother.
How are you guys doing today?
Good so far.
We need to get the camera on Adam.
We will.
Looks like an idiot.
He looks all right.
Did he do his challenge yesterday, finally?
He's doing it today.
Oh, good.
If you hear a bunch of rattling in the studio, that's
he kind of half bleeped it, but it's all right.
We need to touch it up a little bit.
Yeah, we do.
Next break,
patch you up. Then we'll tweet out the pictures here in a little bit.
So I got two quick points this morning. So the first one is I actually see why Heupel is trying to stay with Milton. No, you guys are probably sick of this quarterback talk because that's what everybody talks about. But here's my take on it. If I'm Heupel and I come on campus and I look at tools of a 6'2", 6'3" guy that looks like a defensive lineman that can chuck the ball 80 yards standing flat-footed. He's got all the tools and the gifts of the world. If I get that guy accurate, we're going to have a special season at UT. That's what's going through my mind as a head coach.
Mm-hmm.
So,
or at least it's going to help you get the next special
guy.
Yeah.
I don't fault him. Because, guys, if you have – let's say the light did turn on and he was accurate from game one. Milton was absolutely accurate. the running didn't change. You know, he's not a great runner, but an okay runner. Don't you think we would have beat Pitt and would have been kind of looking at maybe a better season if we get excellent quarterback play?
I think if you have slightly above average quarterback play, I'm saying slightly, you probably beat Pitt by two or three touchdowns.
Right, but just think if you're Coach Heupel and you're looking at his tools and you're thinking, man, I can get this guy to turn on a light, how many games could we win? I mean, that's what I'm thinking. So I don't fault him for trying, especially if you're known for being a quarterback developer. Problem is Milton has a history, and we don't know if that light's going to turn on. But I get the gamble. I really do. I understand the gamble. The second point is, what's one thing besides a loss, that you absolutely don't want to see from Tennessee football this weekend?
Injuries.
It's a good one. I'll go with that.
Can I?
I want to watch them, you know, line up, not have those pre-snap penalties. I mean, if we get an aggressive penalty here, you know, if we get a pass interference because the guy's trying to make an interception or something, okay, fine, whatever. But, like, I can't see false starts. I don't want to see substitution errors. I don't want to see K-Mays clapping because we're not communicating with the quarterback. Like, it just – like, I want to see a clean football game. Like, you know when the announcers are like, yep, it's definitely NFL preseason because the game's so sloppy? Like, I want the opposite of that.
Right. Here – and I – those are good ones. Here's what my number one is I don't want to see vanilla. And I know you guys said that, you know, Bowling Green, they shut it down in half because they didn't think they're passing game. There's no excuse against the FCS team.
Sure.
I know you may not want to reveal your whole playbook, but we got to – this is one of my criticisms of the other coaches is we go into these easy games – we need this practice, guys. We don't need to run the ball up the middle 45 times. We need to run our offense, and we need to run our defense. And I don't care if that's showing your ankle to whatever Florida has for you next week. They got their mouth full right now with Alabama to be worried about us. So I would, you know, let's see who's – let's get the receivers running again. You know, you come out of a game like that where your receivers have caught passes, maybe that gives you a little bit of momentum. So that's the one thing I don't want to see. I don't want to see vanilla play this weekend. We've complained about that with all of our coaching. Previous coaches is, hey, why didn't you get this guy in the game? Why didn't you give this guy some reps during a mop-up time? You know, especially if you're up big going in, which you should be in the second half, get some of your second string out there to get some repetitions in games. Yeah, it's an FCS opponent, but that might help you down the future. So that's the number one thing.
That's a good one. And when you bring in the backups, still run your plays. Yeah. Don't bring them in just to run the dumb stuff. Yeah, I agree with that.
Yep. All right, boys, I got to run. Great show. Take care.
Thanks, Zach. Appreciate it, buddy.
I'm starting to wonder, though, in the second half of Bowling Green, we were like, why don't they throw the ball more? Why don't they throw the ball more? Like, work on the pass game, even though they're dropping a bunch of guys in the coverage.
I think he wanted to cover in his first game.
Maybe they're trying to work on the run game because my confidence in the offensive line took a half step back on Saturday for sure. Now, you know,
yeah,
will Cooper be back? Does that... I mean, I
should
know
be back by
help.
Florida. I don't know if we'll see that this weekend. Regardless, this weekend though, they should be a lot better based on the opponent. Fair,
for sure. Oh yeah. I mean, obviously. But I just he was asked actually on Vol Calls if Cooper had practiced this week. He said, "Yeah, he's starting to get on the grass and be with us. Don't know that he will be completely clear
smoking weed,
or it'll be the right thing to play him in this ball game." So he even admitted. Josh Heupel even admitted. I don't even know if it would, you know, does it even make sense to play him this week. We'll get closer to kickoff and make that determination. The guys that have been nicked up, we don't have a lot of answers on those guys right now. So.
Don't play Cooper.
I don't know.
Even if he's 100%. Well, I guess if he's 100%. I just don't think he's going to be 100%. So I would just sit him. He can go to the cold tub for the entire game. Just put the foot in. Give them a nice little TV, a little flat screen right there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even want them walking on it on the sidelines. I want them to have the boot on in the cold tub. That's how. I don't want to slip getting out. When your foot's numb, you're like, oh, I'll just put it. Oh, don't want that.
I mean, I just we're gonna have to be able to run the football better, even to beat. I think even to beat some of the teams that we. I don't know. Vanderbilt's awful. South Carolina, maybe you can just line up and beat them. I don't know. I don't know if their season will get better or worse. They remind me of Tennessee, but with even.
Who did they play in week one?
Oh, it was an awful. It was an FCS team. So it was like their Tennessee Tech.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, I know Nolan had four touchdowns.
Yeah, but he didn't even throw for that many yards.
My point is, he was also a GA like a week into fall camp. They're 2-0. I'm surprised they're 2-0, especially as bad as I thought they'd be. Now, it's not like they killed ECU, but they did win the game.
Yeah, it feels like to me Kentucky and Missouri are pretty far ahead of you just because of their, you know, they're just more established.
I mean, Kentucky, yeah, but I mean, Missouri's only had their guy for, I mean, if you count last year as a full season.
Yeah.
Just because it was so different.
I mean, the team with the newest coach should be growing the fastest, right? Like, if that makes any sense.
Sure.
Especially if your guy is actually a good coach. You should be gaining ground faster than, you know, as you try and catch up with those teams. And who knows? I mean, I think if you played Pitt, I don't know, if you played Pitt 10 times, Tennessee probably wins 3 or 4 of the games. Just the one we played Saturday, they just weren't good enough.
Mm-hmm.
That offensive line's got to be better. You got to get some running backs healthy. We can't be – I mean, basically the coaches after the very first game that, like, you know, Wright wasn't ready, and then he was forced to be the guy in your first big coin flip-ish game. And that didn't go well, and that's not surprising. So, it's just where we are right now.
You think if we played Pitt in week – well, I guess we'll have to wait and see. I'm hopeful that –
you would have a better chance to beat them under
– if you stayed healthy.
Depending on injuries and health and stuff, but – who would you have had to play? I mean, you had to play somebody last week. I don't know, you know, if you play Ole Miss then, like, you're definitely losing. Whereas now when you play Ole Miss later in the season, who knows? I don't know. If Matt Corral's out or if something weird's happened with them, maybe there's a chance for you to pull an upset there.
I never want Tennessee to be one of those teams where first or second week of the season they're throwing a conference game at you, because that just has disaster and bad start written all over it.
When was the last?
What if you win it?
Last year,
if you win it, then good.
Last year obviously doesn't count. When's the last time we had a conference game in game two? I know in '98, but surely we had one before that, right?
Wait a minute, before that or after that?
After that.
We played Florida in week three before.
Yeah, week three. But have we ever had?
Well, that's the problem. We just always open with Florida, and we don't beat them.
Yeah, right. I feel like for all those years, Florida was the first conference game.
But I'm saying, so were they ever week two?
I thought they were week two a little after '98, but I can't. Remember
yeah, I can't remember
schedule.
Either.
Like in 2000, weren't they the second game? But it might have been week three. Something weird like that.
Let's say since they went to a 12-game schedule.
Hmm.
What year was that?
Is that 06?
I don't remember.
We'll go back and look. We'll check that during the spring.
Come back with more. Stick with us right here. Three and Out continues from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, a Fan Run Radio. Pick you up some White Claw this week. Only 100 calories, 5% alcohol by volume, only 1 gram of sugar, and delicious fruit flavors across the whole line of White Claw Hard Seltzer.
Hour two of three now is brought to you by the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Check them out online at tvacreditunion.com and become a member. Anything a bank can do, they got you covered at the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. It's the official credit union of Three and Out for good reason. Refinanced our mortgage with them a while back. Got business banking stuff with them as well. They've got a great app you can use to do all your mobile banking. Tons of tools and resources with the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. I know everyone wants to grade coaches like globally. I think maybe a healthier way to do it is just judge in the moment. And Heupel would agree with you. They didn't perform well enough. We even heard I don't remember where this came from, but somebody was saying that, you know, the feeling around the program with the coaches. This is from the people we're trying to judge, was that they let one get away. They could have won that football game. Mm-hmm. So it's that's what kind of cracks me up about the Sheep, is they're easier on the program than the people that they're judging are on the program. So it's always cracked me up about it. So that's just where we are. When Tennessee's defense lined up correctly and executed, they were good enough to stop the Pitt offense. That's a good sign. It's still really hard to judge much more than that past kind of, you know, one opponent, one game. You know, Pitt normally plays pretty well up front. They lost a bunch of studs off last year's team, but they're still at least solid schematically. I don't know how good those dudes were they had, because we've only seen their guys for one game. And they played a terrible opponent. There's no other opponent to compare them to.
Mm.
You know, it's kind of like the old Texas-Notre Dame thing. Pitt and Tennessee both could be a little better than we all think they are in this moment, or they both could be all a little worse. Like, there's no other comparison. And not just that, even in college football, when, let's say Tennessee goes out and lays an egg and beats Tennessee Tech 30-20 Saturday, and everybody's like, oh man, Tennessee's worse than we thought. I mean, maybe you see the transitive property all the time, where like one team beats one team, that team beats a third team, so you would imagine that the winner of those two games would definitely beat the team that lost the other team, and they lose. So I mean, every week's different, so we'll see.
We will see.
Just have to wait and see. And we do. I mean, most of the time we're talking about what Josh Heupel's saying. I mean, it's kind of a joke. It really doesn't even matter what he says to the players in terms of the actual, you know, words coming out of his mouth. It's how does it translate to them? Like, what do they take from it, and how does it help them execute and give us some results? So, I don't know. Heupel said it's been – you mentioned depth at receiver. He was asked about having to cross-train different guys, different positions. He even mentioned Velus Jones as having to train him outside and inside, and that's like something they
– oh, gosh. I thought you meant offense, really, defense. No. Slot versus – yeah.
Basically, he was saying, like, that's an anomaly. Like, they don't even – they prefer to just have guys at a position and not have to train them at two different spots.
I'd say that's the most common.
Especially
first year, like if you got a guy in as a freshman and he's really good, by the time he's a, you know, junior or senior, maybe like a redshirt sophomore, you might have him more cross-trained if he's really good and you want to just take advantage of that.
And he said, you know, Velus being injured, the bulk of training camp really hurt his development from learning both those spots.
That's true. He did miss a lot of time with the hammy.
And then he said where we're at with our offensive line, guys having to move multiple positions.
Yeah.
You're having to balance a lot of things in year one and your system too. So not only are they having to learn multiple spots, but it's the first year even in the system learning it, even if they're a veteran player.
Yeah,
but everyone's year one.
What do you think about that, by the way? Because we talked about this a little bit with Pruitt. Would you prefer – trying to think of how I want to say this. Like, obviously, first things first is best five, right? Best five at the best positions, right? Like, if everybody at their position is a 1 out of 5, what combination gets me the closest to 25 possible? Do you like that when Cooper went down, Carvin slides in and we bring in what would, you know, do you wish we had a backup center that wasn't a starter at a different position? Would you prefer to have?
I don't think that's realistic. I mean, sometimes you're.
I don't know. That's.
Well, I guess what I should say is it's not realistic to have, here's my 5 offensive line starters and here's our 5 backups, none of which are starters, but they're all the best option if one guy goes down.
Right.
No offensive line, the NFL offense, none are built that way. It's impossible. Alabama's isn't built that way.
Okay.
The way they approach it.
I mean, ideally, yes, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. In a perfect world with no scholarship limitation, back in the, when you could just have as many guys as you wanted, maybe, and you're the best team for 10 years in a row, surely, I guess you could do that. But
well, and I
in
do,
today's age,
I will say, I do like the fact that center goes down, guard slides in, next guard comes in. If I'm not mistaken, when Brandon Kennedy went down, did we not do. Was there not
like
three
guys,
or four
yeah.
guys? Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. That's
so instead
ridiculous.
Of saying, okay, next best center is also a starter on guard, slide him over next best guard, the straightest line, I guess, to the next best 5, felt like Pruitt was like, all right, well, we're going to take that tackle, move him to guard, slide the other guard out to tackle, bring in another guard, and bring in another center.
The only time that something like that would make sense is if the first injured dude is out for the season, and that change that's kind of complicated is going to be...
Can't get better.
Well,
right,
it's
right,
just
right.
going to be it
well, that's
from
what I'm
now
saying.
On.
Like, the situation will not improve with health
right.
this year. Yeah. I got you.
But Pruitt seemed to do that every week, and it was obviously a train wreck. But, I mean, two things. I think the way coaches typically approach with offensive linemen is they get a guy in, and they kind of operate in two ways. It's, okay, what's your best position? And then what other positions can you do well? And sometimes kind of through those checks, they figure out that, man, this guy, he can really only play guard. You know, like he's not quick enough to play tackle. He's not great making the calls and snapping as a center. He can only play guard. They get some other guys sometimes where they're like, man, you know, he's not the best guy we have at any one spot. But, man, he's super smart, and he's not really bad at any spot. You know, God, he's our 6th best lineman. Really, if anybody goes down, putting him
jack
in
of
it,
all trades,
yeah,
master.
You know, yeah. It's the what they call the swing lineman in the NFL, mm-hmm. right? They've got the guy that they can play. So they kind of.
I have a question.
They kind of put the guys into two different buckets, two different ways: interior lineman, outside, you know, tackle or interior, and then they put him into he's a one spot type of guy, or even sometimes it's even a one side type of guy. Like, man, on the left, we put him on the right side for whatever reason, he can't. Kick slot, you know, and then they say, you know, he can play this spot, and then it's a puzzle, and they figure it out.
Here's a question for you, based on that. Do you remember who was listed as your starter at right tackle for a lot of fall camp?
Yeah.
Who?
Dane Diggs.
Right.
He hadn't played a snap.
Mm-mm. I mean, he might have late, but my question is because. Cade was – they were trying to decide, okay, Cade at guard, Cade at tackle. With the injury and Carvin sliding over, would you be better to put Davis at right, Cade at one of the guard spots, Carvin at center, the next best guard who – I'll be honest right now, I don't know who that is. Like, would that be better?
I don't know.
Because right now you're getting whipped up the middle. If you have one good guard, maybe that would help. But Carvin being at center, not his natural position. I think Carvin was okay when he was playing guard. I mean, he is a natural guard. He was recruited as a guard. Now he's center. Not to say you can't make the change, but he kind of got tossed into it unexpectedly. Mm-hmm. Would you not be better off having and I realize those guys practiced at guard in the summer too, but Cade's obviously the most physically gifted lineman we have. That way, instead of two meh guards and a center out of position, you'd have a center out of position, one great guard, one meh guard, and a right tackle who was allegedly, right, this is just based on what we heard, not that far behind Cade.
I mean, I always like having the best lineman to tackle, but that's because the edge is everything. Like,
I can't
block the edge, you can't do
I don't
anything.
Disagree, but after the Pitt game, we were getting smacked up the middle. Like, all Milton got sacked. Where did the pressure come from? Up the middle. When Hooker had to flush, where was the pressure coming from? Right up the middle.
I don't know. I don't understand.
I just wanted to ask the question.
I don't understand the Dane Davis thing at all. I don't understand why he was.
Was that just to motivate Cade? Or Darnell or whatever?
I think it was Darnell.
Because at that point was Cade. They were putting Cade at both tackles and at guard.
At first, Darnell was a backup, I feel like.
He was.
Fall camp started, right?
Yes.
Everybody was saying Cade's going to start somewhere. Darnell right now is running with the twos.
But Cade did practice at guard too, correct?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know.
I just wonder if he's fast enough for tackle, like quick enough back. Because if you're not quick enough, well, naturally you overstep and then you get beat inside.
That's why he's on the right side.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But if Dane's not faster than him, you're.
Cade May's overrated so far.
Yes.
Yeah. Doesn't mean he can't get better. He's had to have a coaching change.
I mean,
whatever.
He's not playing like a five-star. Like, let's be honest. Like that, when you look at overrated, you got a five-star. Is he playing at a five-star level?
I don't even think he ever did it. Georgia, really. I mean, that's
he started as a freshman. That was Sam.
Situation where he has the tools, he has the body.
He's also had three different coaches.
That's what I'm
saying. That is the most developmental position on the football field.
But, I mean, by definition, Davey's right. He's overrated. I'm not trying to knock the kid. He's obviously
going into
to,
last season. Remember,
schools and coaches.
Fair enough. But going into last season, remember he was projected number 12 overall. So yes, the tools are there. And I don't. I mean, obviously, Will Friend didn't help. Maybe he still just got to get the Will Friend funk off of him.
It's also hard to grade offensive linemen individually, too. You know, like, when the guy decides he's getting blown up or not picking things
and
up.
And when you don't know exactly what he's supposed to do on a given call, right? I'm just saying as a viewer, if I had the play call and the design of the play.
I thought the fact that, like, the quarterback, you know, didn't tell him what to do and he clapped and then the – like, he literally didn't have
a play
call.
That's an issue also.
Yeah. All right, we'll come back with more. Stick with us right here. 3 and out. The NFL is back, and FanDuel Sportsbook wants you to get the most out of every play. That's why they're giving everyone a $10 risk-free bet every single week. All you have to do is bet a same-game parlay bet with three legs or more, and if your bet doesn't win, FanDuel will pay you back up to $10. It's been great with these free $10 refunds. It's like I won one bet on a Eagles money line and then lost one. Got my refund fast. They always do that, and this is each and every week if you do a same-game parlay with three legs or more. So hit it up, the FanDuel Sportsbook app. I know a lot of you guys have already downloaded it. We love it. You will as well. You got Ravens-Chiefs this week. And
who you got tonight? Who's tonight, Dave?
The football team and the Giants.
Ooh.
And I really don't know what to make of it because
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
What'd you say the over-under was?
40.5.
Might be high.
Like the over?
So I don't like anything in this game.
Henneke came in and looked really good
for
Washington.
Well, I mean, he looked good in the playoffs last year. But really, though, Washington, if you go back and you watch that game, it shouldn't have been that close. The Chargers were really dominating. They just couldn't take advantage of a couple of situations. Like, I think time of possession, just yardage.
Did you see that fumble call for
All I know is Antonio
Herbert. The one where he threw it out of the back of the end zone and they call it a fumble?
I don't remember that one, but I do know that Washington picked off Herbert, and then like a couple plays later, Antonio Gibson fumbled at their own 5, and that pretty much did me in because I had Washington money line last week.
Well, here's the play tonight. If you're not sure what to bet on the Thursday night game, just go with the $10 same game parlay, put in some touchdown scores, whatever you think might happen. That way you got a big payout, and if you fall one leg short, you get your $10 back.
Logan Thomas.
Because it's Jeremy Pruitt and the Giants, and it's backup quarterback for the football team. It's going to be a mess. But that'll make the game
I'll
fun.
Take Heineke over Pruitt.
Well, and the odds on some of the touchdown scores will be pretty long, too. So if you hit it, you'll make a ton of money. Lock in your bet today on the FanDuel Sportsbook app and get up to $10 back if your bet doesn't win. And actually, this is different than the same game parlay insurance. If your bet doesn't win, It's not if you fall one leg short. This is if the bet doesn't win at all, you get your $10 back. FanDuel always taking great care of you. We love it. Play along with us tonight on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. And if you do hate tonight's game, obviously you could go same game parlay with any of the games this weekend. If you're new, sign up. Use our promo code 3OUT, and they also have that 30-1 odds on either team to win the biggest game of the weekend, Chiefs and Ravens. Use our promo code 3OUT, that's 3OUT, when you sign up for the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Same game parlay available for multiple sports in all states on mobile and web. Gambling problem, call Tennessee Redline, 1-800-889-9789.
Do it.
This week does kind of suck with the whole grading of the, you know, the whole judgment that people just want to pass immediately.
That's common after the first loss of the season.
I mean, the good news is you should have receivers running wide open again, and we'll just see if whoever's playing quarterback can hit them.
If Milton's healthy, he'll be back. He'll be back there, I think. I thought Zach had a good take.
Okay, here's something I want to get into, and we maybe got some more Vol calls quotes for later, but here's something I wanted to talk about today.
Okay.
The question was posed, I believe, on the Blitz yesterday. I've heard on some of the other shows. Should Josh Heupel play or not play Harrison Bailey just to show the fans whether he has it or he doesn't? And one of the fears by some callers, a fear that some of the hosts brought up, which is a valid point, was, well, if you play him against Tennessee Tech, he's going to look good. I mean, it's Tennessee Tech. Or at least he has the potential to look good. And then that's going to make the fans that want him to play over one or both of the other guys just that much louder.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got a take on that. Josh Heupel should not care. He needs to go to Stephen A. I don't care.
We don't care.
We are so injured as a fan base from the previous coaches.
This is true.
That we have to admit that the coach really shouldn't care what the fans think. Because ultimately, if the coach is doing his job, eventually the fans will go, oh, now I get it.
Mm-hmm.
That worked out.
Sure.
That was the right decision. And if that never happens, you're going to get fired, and you're going to collect a nice bout from Tennessee, and you'll be just like the other guys anyway, and it's not going to matter. It's not going to matter if the fans are a little harder on you between the Tennessee Tech and the Florida game, or between the Florida game and the Ole Miss game, or the Ole Miss game and the Vanderbilt game. It's not going to matter.
Hmm.
It does not matter what fans say during the season this year. There's no fan revolt that's going to lead to Josh Heupel being fired before he plays Vanderbilt this season. It's not going to happen. So who cares? If playing Harrison Bailey some in the Tennessee Tech game is what's best for Tennessee football long term, he should absolutely do it. And for all the fans who are like, see, Harrison Bailey went 4-for-4 with a touchdown. He should be playing against Florida. Josh Heupel needs to have the cojones to say, no. I've seen all these guys play. He went 4-for-4 with a touchdown against Tennessee Tech because he executed well. We wanted to get him those reps because if a guy goes down, or if we want to make a change later, it was good for him to be in that football game. But to start the Florida game, it's not going to be Harrison Bailey. End of story, period. I'm the head coach. This is not hard. Right? I mean, we can make fun of John Curry. You can make fun of other coaches that don't work out. But any coach should be just doing what's best for the team and what will help the team win long term.
Yeah, I think it's always a bad idea. I know fans want to be heard. Right, like fans want to get what they want. I do think it's a bad idea if coaches take too much, they listen too much to a certain section of the fan base, right? Butch Jones only ever heard the negative. And he would do things to try to appease them or defend himself. Like, there's no need to do that. Like, Heupel needs to do exactly, because if he does things that he doesn't want to do because he thinks it's going to make everybody happy, and then he fails, he's going to feel like an idiot.
Yeah.
Like, why didn't I do it my way? At least that way I would know if it works. And things that may look like they're not working today may be working in 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years. So, again, it all boils down to is just way, way too early. On the Bailey thing for this weekend, A, hopefully you have an opportunity to play him about a quarter at least,
mm-hmm.
you know, or at least two or three drives in the fourth quarter. I would also say, and I'm not saying this to be negative, he's been third on two depth charts. I realized last year was Pruitt-Saff. Jim Chaney's not a terrible, you know, talent evaluator when it comes to quarterback. Josh Heupel knows quarterbacks. Harrison Bailey's third on the depth chart. If he was that much better of a passer, I think he would be in over guys who can run also. Just my thoughts.
I mean, it's possible that the distance from Milton to Hooker, Hooker to Bailey, isn't really that much.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, there's only been two games, and like we talked about, if they think Milton was going to give them the best chance to compete long-term this season, I mean, even if they're in a meeting and they go, you know, Hooker this week might give us technically the same chance to win as Milton, and if Milton's kind of inconsistent, maybe even a slightly better chance. But ultimately, if we want to win the amount of games we think we can win this year, it's got to be Milton, so we're going to go with Milton. I mean, that's possible. That probably isn't the case, but that's a possibility.
I think that's a good point.
I know we got to take a break, and we can get into it a little later on, but Houston, you kind of put out the list of things that Heupel has done well so far, obviously, and then there's the part for the red flags.
I've got a huge list.
So we can get into that, but I do think if you're Josh Heupel, one of the things that I've seen from him so far, and this was first evident to me during the Bowling Green game right before the half, like he's wanting to take these shots. He's wanting to continue to put up points. He's not – like Jeremy Pruitt would just try to get out of games.
Yeah.
Josh Heupel's trying to win them and being full steam ahead. And I do think when you look at the quarterback situation, granted it's not been great through two games. No one's going to argue that. But there is one guy that gives you an opportunity, if he is able to connect, the best chance to pull an upset against one of these teams that nobody that has been following this program really believes that we should win this year just based off the differential in talent.
Right. Yep. Yeah, makes sense. We'll get to the following lines on the flip side. Stick with us. Hang tight there. We'll come right back. Wrinkles. Final segment, hour two. Right to the phone lines we go. We got Westchester up first. What's up, Westchester? You're on Three and Out.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are we doing today?
Good, brother. How are you?
I'm pretty good. Guys, I got 2 points here. One, I brought this up on the drive, and they acted like I was crazy. I don't think I'm crazy on this one. I'm crazy on most things, but I think I'm pretty spot on this. Y'all are kind of wasting your time talking about quarterbacks, or at least you're, in my opinion, you're not focusing your energy in the right direction.
Mm. Where should we be focusing it?
I think this is the same song, different verse. Guys, whoever plays this week is, whoever starts this week is the number two, because whoever has to start this week has to start Florida, and there's no way in heck that you're starting your number one quarterback against Florida. You're putting somebody out there to take the beating, to take the loss, and then you're gonna have to make a change after that. And the only way you can right the ship after Florida is to save your starting quarterback.
Westchester, you know, I'm not usually the most positive guy out there whenever it comes to Tennessee football, but I cannot agree with anything you just said.
Are you talking about the physical beating against Florida or the emotional beating against Florida is the reason you can't bring that guy back? Or just the clamoring of the fan base that he was so bad against Florida that you got to use someone else?
All three. Everything you just said, yeah.
I mean Heupel's going to take the chance. Like, he's not going into that game already admitting defeat like we've seen from previous coaches. Like, this is something I do believe he's at least going to go out there and try to do something to keep you in it early and possibly be in it in the fourth quarter and make some magic happen. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but that's at least the mindset he's going into this with. And so whoever I believe he thinks is the best quarterback and gives this team the best opportunity to win, and at the end of the day, I think he's going to give Milton that chance if he's healthy. And obviously, it could go south very early, and if there's a bunch of overthrows first quarter, he'll make a change. But right now, I can't go into that mindset of...
That's just a soft mindset, Westchester. Like, I want a quarterback that can go into the swamp, get beat, and then say, all right, now I'm going to play better the next week. Like,
Yeah, Brian Mauer's not still on the roster.
Are we that fragile mentally?
Yeah, I think we are. I think, I mean, it may be a new coaching staff, but I think he read the secret book that gets handed down from Tennessee coaches, and it says, you're going to lose in the swamp. I don't care what happens. I don't care what you think. You're going to lose in the swamp. I mean,
Casey Clawson ain't walking through that door.
God, I wish he would, don't you?
And they look pretty old at the. Well, I'm just kidding, Casey.
I still start him over anybody we got over there.
I just don't think that's the way Heupel will do it.
Yeah, I don't.
It may go very, very badly, but I mean, God, I remember when we rolled Peterman out there. It was a nightmare.
So you want to ruin your best quarterback in the first SEC game of the year?
It's not like they got a dominant defensive line that's likely going to like put the guy out for the season.
Yeah, I mean, they're take the whiplash approach. If starting a guy in the swamp ruins him, then he was never going to be the guy to begin with.
Ooh, that's deep.
Well, maybe we shouldn't play rejects from a crappy Big Ten team.
Wow.
That's another argument.
He broke his thumb.
Guys, moving on to my second point. Despite him being against my call, I was actually calling to say that I think Davies Depot yesterday was probably one of the top five of his illustrious career.
We got one vote for the top 15, one vote for the top five. That's nice.
The only problem I have with it is I think you're thinking a little too presidential. I think you have to go 5-year terms so that you can keep the players you recruit. And I'm not sure that doesn't absolutely ruin your recruiting in their second term. I don't know how you recruit when everyone knows you have to leave.
The lame duck recruiter. Yeah.
That's a really good point.
Yeah. You have to rework that, it a little bit.
I don't like waiting every 5 years for a coaching search.
Maybe just
it would be really nice to have to wait 5 years for a coaching search around here. I can tell you that.
Maybe just 2-year renewable terms up to 10 years total or something. So maybe there's some floating sliding scale.
I don't know. I just wanted to put the conversation out there, and then other minds can continue to work on it, and then the credit just all comes back to me. I'm fine with that being the case.
Smart. Thanks for the call, Westchester.
Kind of
like Lou Holtz in the Play Like a Champion today. Maybe we can talk about that story later. They finally settled the trademark issue between he and Notre Dame this week.
Wait, did he come up with that?
No.
Oh.
He stole it from an Oklahoma coach.
Yeah.
But then he trademarked it, I guess.
So come on, Lou. Be better.
And then Notre Dame wanted to have it, so they had to hash it out. Only took them 35 years. All right, next we go to the one and only Rod. What's up, Rod?
Oh, how you doing this morning?
Great.
That sounds like the highest form of sarcasm I've ever heard right there.
No, I'm in a good mood.
Well, some
folks not so much.
I normally like following old Smith and Wesson that y'all just had on there, because normally he's pretty smart. I remember a few years back he called that Auburn was going to win the SEC basketball tournament, but that's about the dumbest thing I ever heard you say right there. He's a smart guy, though. He's lift his chin up. He'll keep it up. But I tell you, too, I'm glad to hear that he complimented Davey on the depot, because the wife is telling me to take over Davey's depot.
I did not know your farm was next to the train tracks.
No, I'm right down here in the old city right now trying to pick up some stock and feed for Angus. But I will say, boys, I'd like to give my three different things there, the red flags and the positives. You got a minute for me to give them to you?
Come on with it.
Yep.
Well, let's do positives or negatives first?
Negatives.
All right, negative. First negative that I see is that ever since Red's got here, them beer lines has gotten twice as long. That's the first negative. second negative is I was down at EO the other night, right Friday night for a ball game, and some of the Pittsburgh fans was in there eating, and I was talking to them. They said the one weakness we got is our offensive line is horrible. And I said, well, the problem was the whole second half, if we only sent four men, we got zero pressure on the quarterback. We only time we got is if we send extra guys, and you're never going to be a good football team, especially in the SEC, if you can't get pressure with four men. And we can't do that. That's a problem. You agree with that?
Yes, sir.
And the last thing is, Brad's supposed to be the quarterback, you know, whisperer, walking genius. And I don't, maybe I'm wrong. I never coached a quarterback before, but I feel like surely you can teach a guy how to read the defense, how to see the open guy, how to make quick decisions in your pocket. Because I don't think it matters who we got back there. Nobody can make a good quick decision or see a guy breaking open on a route. I don't understand why we can't put that together.
Fair enough. Those are, I don't want to say good negatives. That doesn't make a lot of sense. But I think those are the beer line. I mean, geez, I don't. Mm-hmm. They got to fix that, bro.
Yeah,
that's. I'm not going to put that on. I'm not going to blame Heupel for that. Although, no, I mean the game's been fairly exciting. Maybe the lull in the second quarter of Bowling Green,
well,
but
I mean you need to get beer either way. If things are going great, and you'd be celebrating. Yeah. If things are going bad, you need some for your misery.
Heupel and White came from the same place. They're practically the same person to me. So I blame it on Red.
Have we ever seen them in the same place at the same time? Everyone has
As low as attendance has been and as long as those lines have been, could you imagine if we were 100,000? Jeez.
I can't even get the Wi-Fi, especially standing down there in KK where it's size of city knocker. I can't get the Wi-Fi truly down there for anything. They'll wait half a quarter to get one.
Sad. And they don't sell waters with the truly, so you can't hydrate. You got to go stand in another line. It's just brutal.
Yeah, it's a mess.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. All right, well, now let's look at a couple of the good things that I've seen out here now. The first thing is that we at least got receivers that finally run it open. So I will give Red a little bit of credit. He's able to scheme up. I always said, especially with Pruitt, you watch other college football games, and it seems like they got players just running wide open everywhere across the field. And I'm like, why can't we do that? And finally, every time Milton throws the ball and you look up, there's a guy three or four steps ahead of somebody. So at least we got guys running wide open finally.
Mm-hmm.
That's number one.
All right.
Number two is, hell, at least we got somebody that's overthrowing people now. It's a hell of a lot better than watching Daring Kano underthrow everybody every single play. I'm with Davey. I feel like at some point they're going to make a connection because at least he's putting it out there for them and not undersowing all these guys like a little sissy boy. That's my number two.
He's a man, by God.
My last one is this, is that I'm just glad if we're going to lose football games, that we're going to do it Derek Dooley style and lose 51-48 in a shootout. And at least make it a hell of a lot of fun. It's a lot better than losing 17-14 like we did under Cornbread. Love you, boys.
See you, Rob. Appreciate the phone call.
Thanks for the call. Cornbread.
It is true, man. Like, that was the thing with Pruitt. Like, because your defense wasn't good enough to where you'd say, man, the offense, they were both just kind of equally bad. So, yeah, you're losing games.
Yeah.
Like, what was the Auburn? 33-13, 33-14? 24, was it 24-10 to Arkansas? 24-13.
You're up 13 at the half. And
yeah, and then games. But didn't they score 21 in the third quarter?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so there's, like, the defense was, on average, okay, but then they'd have that, at least with Heupel, you know, and he's an offensive guy. If the offense looks good, it'll probably buy him some favor.
Mm-hmm.
A little more time. Good send-ins by the tweeters out there.
All right. We'll
I appreciate it.
Read off some of those next. Stick with us on Three and Out.